My name is Pastor Antonio. I just want to welcome you. I got to meet like a handful of new people today. I see Nathan. Do we have any like new graduates, any new seniors? All right, shout out. For those of you who just graduated, Nathan doesn't want to get his hand up. I'm putting you on blast, brother. You guys go ahead and grab a free shirt on your way out tonight. Welcome to young adults, right? Or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you're a new graduate, new into the young adult arena. We welcome you. Go grab some free merch. Let them know that Angelique said you could. That should get you what you need, right? Okay, so hey, I got to meet a handful of great people tonight, and so it was nice to meet you, and we're so excited. Look, we're not going to go long. 7:45, we're going to get out of here not too far from now, and then what we want to do is we want to clean up quickly, and then we want to go hang out together. Is that cool? We'll clean up. We can fellowship and socialize here a little bit, but then let's help pack up, and then let's go to Mountain Grove and eat, right? People like to eat. People like to hang out, so it's a beautiful night. And we'll get to know some people and fellowship and meet some people. Is that all right? Meet some people. That's what we keep saying. Because, we're going to get into the Word of God, and that's what it's about. Don't get me wrong. It's about the Word of God, but it's also about doing life with people. And I think in preparation for tonight, I kept coming back to the idea of you know, the principles of the Word of God become a lot simpler in our life when we can do them with other people. Right, and so I don't want to start preaching just yet, but we'll go through it. Let's see how the Word of God explains that. Is that cool? So, tonight, the topic for tonight, I don't know. I feel like I was in church. I mean, God speaks to me so much in church. Isn't that good? I was in church. So if you ever see me like, sitting down talking on my phone or not talking on my phone, texting in my phone. Writing text in my phone. I'm not texting. I'm often writing notes. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I am texting in church. I can't lie in church. But sometimes I'm just writing notes because God's speaking some things to my heart. And so I want to write those things down before I forget them. Because I find if I don't write them down, I will forget them. So I was in church the other day and I felt this, I'll just get right into it. We're going to be talking about overcoming disappointments. Overcoming disappointments because, sometimes preachers 101 will tell you, you shouldn't preach out of something that you're still kind of trying to get over yourself, right? Because you don't have this like place that you experience, so to speak. But I seem to find that no matter how much I'm in my Word, no matter how much I'm praying, there's still going to be disappointments in my life. And then I go to the Word and I find that nowhere in the Bible can I find anyone that didn't have disappointments in their life. So I think this can be one of those asterisks in terms of topics that as a preacher I can come and share with you that I have disappointments in my life. I face times where I get disappointed. I face times where I have high expectations, high hopes, high dreams about something, and then it just doesn't quite meet where I want it. Am I alone tonight? And everyone ever say, I've been disappointed? Yeah, you've been disappointed. Right, or maybe again, it just didn't quite go. Life isn't just quite going. But what about this God thing? What about what this looked like? But we find in the Word of God that Jesus says, "Hey, look, it's gonna be hard. Following me isn't like a quick pass to heaven." Right? Wait, you mean that I surrender my heart and life to Jesus? I become a Christian, and then life isn't just smooth sailing from here on out? Right? You mean it's not just like. It's not the easy life pass. When I surrender my heart and life, I get this like easy ticket. No, I would say just the contrary. I shouldn't say it like that. Not just the contrary, but there are times in our lives where we will face disappointments. We will face hurts. We will still face loss because we live in a fallen world. People close to us may pass away. We might go through heartache. We might go through a loss of a job, of a loss of finances, a loss of relationships that hurt us deeply. We might go through betrayal in relationships where you feel like, man, I can't believe my best friend stabbed me in the back, or I can't believe this happened to me. And we have to overcome these things. But I have good news for you tonight. I believe God put a word in my heart that I believe will encourage us all to know that even in disappointment, even in those hurts, even in those frustrations, we serve a good God. And that God can turn anything that maybe was meant for not for your good, for your good. Right? And that we don't always understand exactly what is going on. We see oftentimes just so narrow-minded because we see life in front of us, but we don't get the arrow view, right? God has the supreme drone in the sky that sees the big picture and sees the path that we're headed and where that is going. Okay? We don't get that view. We don't get that view. I believe we don't get that view because if we got that view, we would mess it up some way. We'd say, oh, wait, so that still goes, oh, so I can do this and this. Like, no. God knows what he's doing, and we're going to see it in Scripture. Is that okay? You know, several of you were here last week, right? Last week as we launched out of Revive into what I believe God is doing in the young adults here at The Rock. And we had Sammy Rodriguez. Who loved Sammy Rodriguez? Man, he's awesome. I've been in touch with him again this week, and I just know he's just really excited. You know, it's a cool thing that after someone leaves, they continue to bless. And I've been able to say that about all the guest speakers that we had during Revive, that they weren't just one-time guest speakers, and then all of a sudden it's crickets when you try to get a hold of them. But they've all blessed what we're doing. And Sammy had amazing things to say about our young adults and about our region. He's believing for the Inland Empire. I was surprised. Like, he was calling it the Inland Empire, but then he called it the Inland Kingdom. Did you guys catch that? He called it the Inland Kingdom, and I believe that was on purpose because what he was saying was we are going to be kingdom-minded in going about our business on this earth. Amen? So, but he put something so cool. He was talking about how the context of how we read our Bible. And he talked about stories in the Bible that maybe you grew up in church like I did and you've heard certain stories or certain parables or certain you've read over certain scriptures your whole life. And so you kind of just become numb to the idea of how crazy they are, right? And he brought up the idea of Noah's Ark. And this was just spinning out in my mind all this week. Because if you think about it, Noah's Ark is a crazy story, right? Because he's talking about, so God told him to collect all the animals. And there are animals, if you went up the 38 and you went up into Big Bear, the name of the town is called Bear, you wouldn't try to go find bears, you would run from bears, right? But God is telling him to gather animals, and this is no different back when Noah was around. There was animals that were predators, right, that I'm sure they had to. Have you guys ever seen like 10,000 BC or any of like those like early man stories where there were saber-toothed tigers and stuff like that? Like, there was predators that they would stay away from. There was wild animals that would come and hunt and that were going to do them harm. And yet, God is asking Noah to gather them all together. And then he's asking him to put all the animals in one confined place. Like that, based on the circle of life in the food chain, someone's going to have to eat somebody. But by mirror, like that, doesn't that sound crazy? Like, but I never thought about that because it's Noah's Ark. And then he did this. And then they were all on a boat for this long, having a good time on a boat. Right? And so it goes, wow, God. I just brush over that. I don't want to say we because maybe that is you caught that was trippy. I didn't. I just brushed over and like, yeah, it's normal, Noah's Ark. But what else in the Bible do we find when we put things into context that are way trippier than we think? Well, I think of this scripture here in James. James chapter 1, verse number 2. I think I had it later. Sorry, Marianne, if you could pop it up on the screen. James chapter 1, verse numbers 2 through 4. My brethren, this is James, the brother of Jesus. Jesus's brother, half-brother, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So here's James writing to the early church. James was the pastor of the church of Jerusalem, right? Ancient Jerusalem, after they crucified Jesus. This is soon after they crucified Jesus. People are aware. Now here comes this new faith that is being developed, right? Christians. The term Christian, the term Christian has not yet been coined, but that's what they are. They are Christians. They are believers in Jesus. After he crucified, people are going crazy. We find Pentecost. There's this rapid growing faith bursting out of Jerusalem. And James is the pastor here in Jerusalem. So I'm trying to paint some context here. And he, and what else is going on? Well, the Roman Empire is not happy about this thing because if it gets out, it's going to ignite people. It's going to cause revival. And guess what? The Roman Empire could lose its power. And guess what? The religious zealots, the Jewish people also would lose followers of Judaism. And they would go after following Jesus, and because the Jewish people didn't recognize Jesus as Messiah. So here you have these new group of on-fire people that believe in Jesus, and what's going on? They're under immense persecution. Did anyone ever see that movie, The Apostle Paul? It came out, I believe, last year, The Apostle Paul. It's a powerful movie, powerful movie. The Apostle Paul talking about, and specifically there was a part when Paul visited the church of Jerusalem. Because what's happening is there is such intense persecution in the church of Jerusalem, meaning they, I'm not trying to get too dark in church, but they are lighting Christians on fire in the streets. So many so that the highways were lit up. Like at night, imagine the highways. Oh, wow, there's lights. Coming into the city, there's lights. Well, those lights are human torches. They're burning Christians alive. They're burning Christians alive. So this is the context. So now, because it's nice to read that verse and be like, count it all joy. But he's writing this to a people who, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, people who have this belief, people who are standing on what is now going to be the word, as he writes a letter, their context is, I could very well die for my belief. And I could very well die a horrendous death. And here comes James. Count it all joy. Count it all joy in your various trials. And so, you know, again, because we see count it all joy, and that means when our battery dies on our phone. Oh, gosh, you know what? I'm just going to count it all joy. I ran out of gas. Count it all joy, guys. And I'm not trying to diminish us, okay? Because I don't like the idea that we have to just walk around feeling so guilty. Because we're just not in those times. And Jesus isn't mad at us either. He knows we're in these times. But when we can put into context what count in all joy means, that means when I have something as what could be as silly as my phone dying, or when I have had a real, genuine loss and I'm heartbroken. Now I can take these things and put them into context. So when Pastor James says, hey, Christians, in this letter that's been preserved thousands of years for us to be reading in 2019, when we come across this scripture, when you walked in this door knowing the weight that you're carrying, the heartache that you're carrying, the burden that you're carrying, and you hear me say, count it all joy, you can say, okay, talk some more. Because maybe it's not, you know. All right, keep going. I'm listening. Count it all joy in our various trials. Because what does verse 3 say? Because it's working in our patience. Can we get verse number 3? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The cool thing about that idea there is producing patience, being that it's being made, right? If you think about a manufacturing plant, it's being made. So your trials is the manufacturing of patience, right? It's a process, right? You think about a plant or a, what is it called? Henry Ford, what did he develop? That assembly line, right? Where it's each part is being put together. And the end product is patience. And so different trials are going through different steps, adding on the different parts that will make a complete product in patience. Because with patience, we can now be complete and overcoming and getting to that area of joy in our life. Because disappointments come. I wish the points that God gave me today were saying, this is how to avoid disappointment. Or that I can call this the title of the message tonight, avoiding all disappointments. But I just don't foresee how that happens because, again, we live in life. So that's why we're talking about overcoming disappointments. Overcoming disappointments, where we don't let disappointments so sideline us. I want to, you know, I got really encouraged because last Friday, I had the opportunity to speak at the TRCS, or the Rock Christian School graduation. And I was the speaker, and I wrote out a speech. And I'll come up here every week versus stand and do a speech. And the cool thing, the thing about the speech, I got to read it. I got to read the speech, and I was more nervous of that than coming in preaching. I don't know where that came from. But I was happy someone encouraged me, like, hey, it's okay to read something while you're while you're preaching, because I always felt like, man, I got to be walking around and have it all memorized, right? Or entertain you guys with my mannerisms and movements. I don't know. I don't know. So I don't know what that was. You guys ever see that Fresh Prince episode when he wakes up the guy and he's like, you're dreaming. Man, I'm a little bit older. I'm going to be turning 36 this week. But, man, that's so I'm aging myself. I'm Fresh Prince still, though. Is that? Yeah? Okay, good. All right. I mean, because we would have a problem, guys. I'd have to step down from young adult ministry. I don't know. Send me the old people section. Okay, but anyways, the idea was that I want to share this with you. I want to read it because I feel like I want to share with you the way the Lord gave it to me. Because again, disappointment can sideline us. It could handicap us. And I don't know about you. Maybe you've had friends that have come to church with you, and you've seen over the years that they don't come anymore. Or, you know, we've been doing young adults ministry for 13 years now, and I've seen a lot of people come. I've seen a lot of people go, right? And somewhere along the line, they fell off, so to speak, or stopped coming. Some of them, for other reasons, the Lord moved them to other areas, moved them on in life, other ministries, and that's great. They're doing great. But a lot of them stopped serving God. And the idea was the same. I tried that God thing. And what they're saying is, I got disappointed. I had a letdown. By definition, disappointment, a saddening situation or a letdown. A saddening situation or a letdown is how disappointment can be defined. And so here goes a young person walking with the Lord, and then a saddening situation happens. A letdown happens. But I put my faith in you, Jesus, and this still happened. Or I tried that God thing, but it still ended with disappointment. The problem there is, what are we expecting when we come to God? Because that's where I would say how we can help overcome our disappointments. What are we expecting when we come to God? If we're coming to God thinking this is going to be a pass, like we talked about at the beginning, a pass for a free, easy life, well, then I'll tell you right now, that's not going to happen. I'll warn you ahead of time. But if we can come to God saying, God, this is my life. I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. I know that my life, I live, we are on this side of heaven. Meaning that there's our life here and then heaven. As long as I'm on this side of heaven, while I have breath on this earth, which James says later, it's but a vapor, then I know that there's going to be challenges that come. When we get to heaven, poodle party, right? It's all party. It's all hanging out. It's all fun, right? It's a good time. We'll turn up, and that's heaven. We're going to praise Jesus. There's going to be worship music playing all the time, right? Chris Tomlin will probably be one of the worship leaders. Right? And just, you know, singing away, I'll sing of your love forever. And that's going to be great. But until that day, until that glorious day, you know, we're going to have some trials. We're going to have some tribulations. We're going to have some disappointments in our life. But for some people tonight, this is where you live, a life full of disappointment, and you wonder where the whole God thing comes to play. I think the next step is realizing that it's okay to know that we don't have it all together. To know that it's not fair. There isn't going to be a level playing field. Your cards, maybe they sucked a little bit. Maybe you can have a reason why, well, I didn't have this, or I didn't have that, or I have this going against me, or I grew up in this neighborhood, or this type of home, or in this culture, or this, or that, and the list goes on. But with God, we don't have to worry about a level playing field. We just know whose team we're on. You get what I'm saying? In that same analogy, we don't have to worry about the level playing field. But if God is on your team, if you are born again and born of the Spirit of God, then he's on your team. So whether or not the playing field is level, you are set to win. You are set to win. You might be down in the first inning, in the second inning. All right, we'll switch the analogy. You might be down in the first quarter, the second quarter. What else? You might be down coming around the last corner, coming around that last bend. But either way, God is on your team. And regardless of how the playing field looks, regardless of whether it feels like you're running uphill, God is on your team, and God does not lose. So that means you do not lose. You are set to win. In fact, the devil should be talking about it's not a level playing field because it's fixed. The battle's fixed. The fight is fixed. The game is fixed. You're going to win. But you got to stick in there. So how do we overcome some disappointments tonight? I feel the Lord gave me a few things that I want to share with you. Lessons from disappointment. Lessons from disappointment. Number one, it's tough. Disappointment is tough. We're going to do three T's tonight. Three T's to make it nice and easy. Nice and easy. Three T's. It's tough. Disappointment is tough. Losses are tough. Betrayals are tough. Well, that was simple. I paid admission for that. No, sorry. I'm sorry. We'll give you your money back. Discouragement can shut you down. It can make you want to quit. Hey, you gave it a shot, right? I don't know about you. I've wanted to quit a lot of things a lot of times, and I have quit a lot of things because of disappointment. And like, I'll be transparent with you. I'm not the best at overcoming disappointment. I've let disappointment take me out of a lot of things. But what I've found is I've gotten closer to God. It takes a little bit more to knock me out of the game. As I get into this word and I draw nearer to God, I'll still get disappointed. But where I would have walked away, I'm a little bit more resilient. I'm a little bit more bulldog, and I have a tighter grip. But that grace, that ability to hang on tighter, to hang on longer, comes from God and God alone. My friends, if you're looking for a way to figure out how to do it on your own, this is not the place. This is not how it's going to happen. If you're looking for a self-improvement book on how I can hang on longer when life lets me down, I don't have anything to offer you tonight. All I have is what the Word of God would say. And I put my faith in Jesus. All I can do is point you to the cross. All I can do is point you to the man whose grace is sufficient. All I can do is point you to whose love is overcoming so that we don't have to worry about when we're slipping and what that looks like. Because when we point to Jesus, then your grip gets a little bit stronger. Then your resiliency gets a little bit stronger. And your ability to fight, you don't know where it comes from. Oh my gosh, I've always quit everything in my life. Personal example. Angelina is my first girlfriend. My wife is my first girlfriend. But any semblance of any kind of relationship or anything more than just dating, or we used to call it talking back in my day, right, scared the bejesus out of me. And I would quit. I would get disappointed. I would get hurt. I would get afraid. And so the reason why I had to bring this up is because that was the first time in my life I decided I'm not going to quit. Something in me, I did not want to quit. There was disappointment, just like in any relationship. Early in a relationship, oh my gosh, there's like the yays and like, oh my gosh, she's perfect. And then there was like, oh wow, like as we get closer to engagement, there's opportunities to quit. There's opportunities to bow out. There's opportunities to leave something. There's opportunities to like nitpick at relationships. Like, oh my gosh, like I didn't like the way she like crossed her legs. She should have gone like this, or like, you know, or I don't know what guys or girls do, right? Like, and my wife is perfect, so it was never that, right? I mean, it's, she's listening, guys. Shh. Talk to me afterwards, fellas. Just kidding. All right. No, I'm just kidding. But we can find little things in our life and for reasons to quit. But the grace for the resiliency, the grace to hang on, has to come from Jesus. I want to share with you this scripture out of Psalms 34:18. Talking about that, the lessons of disappointment is that it's tough. But we can look to the word of God, and in Psalm 34:18 it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." If you're brokenhearted tonight, if your spirit feels crushed, if you feel like you can't catch a break, the Lord is near you. The Lord is near you. He sees you. He's not far from you. He has a plan for your life. There's a perfect plan for your life. There's giftings and graces on the inside of you. Can I tell you the truth? I fear that sometimes as Christians, God gets the blame for our personal failures. For our failure to live out what God has planned for us. Can we be real? Can we be objective about ourselves, our own lives? Right? Because, oh my gosh, I'm a Christian. Life should go great. But you're not going to the school that he said to go to. Or I told you not to go to that job. Or I told you not to be in that relationship. Or I opened this door for you, and why did you end up going that way and in that door? But God has to get the blame. Oh God, why is this happening to me? You mean why is this happening to you? The door at the door that I told you not to go in, at the door that I tried to close. See, because God is a God that says I love you, but you have free will. Do you guys know you have free will? We are not robots up here. I'm not being controlled by God. As you heard me pray, let me be a vessel of what your word says. But if I wanted to go off on some crazy rant, like that is something that could definitely happen, right? In the flesh. But we have to be spirit-led. We have to not be afraid of that step. See, some of you are afraid of the open door. I don't know who this is for, but some of you are looking at an open door in your life. There's an opportunity in front of you right now in your life. You came in this room tonight knowing that you have a decision in front of you. And for the most part, you know it's God, but you're still afraid of it. And sometimes part of you would rather go into the closed door because that seems more rational and reasonable in our minds. I'm here to tell you tonight, man, be assured that that open door is for you. God is going to protect you. If he asks you to go into it, he has your back. It doesn't mean that it might not be hard. It doesn't mean that it might not be disappointment. But God has a plan for that door for you. So go ahead and walk through. I don't know who that was for. Come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you. Number two. One, it's tough. Two, hey, it's temporary. It's temporary. Disappointment is temporary. Let's not camp out in the valley of the shadow of death. What does the Bible say? I will get you through the valley of the shadow of death. But sometimes we want to set up camp. Sometimes we want to build a house and make it comfortable. Oh my gosh, I love the view here in the valley of the shadow of death. No, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's so appeasing. Oh my gosh, it's so nice. Or it's comfortable. But I know I shouldn't be in that relationship, but you know, there are good days. I know I shouldn't be at this job, but it pays well. I know I shouldn't be there, but I mean, they shouldn't be my friends, but they know me so well. Or we have history together. Why are you camping in the shadow of death? Let's get to stepping and let's get to where God wants us. See, this is our part. This is our part that we get to play in our free will, decisions that we make that lead to disappointments. And the reason it's coming up and I by the Spirit of God is because we in our life are being handicapped, are being weighed down by the decisions that we're making. And as a generation, as a people, we're not doing that everything God has for us. And we don't want to be a people that looks back and says, if I would have just done that, because that's regret. If I would have just let go of that sooner, then I could be further from God. You know, I was really encouraged. I saw this stat. It was like an infographic on Warren Buffett. I think he's 87 years old. It said Warren Buffett made 99% of his wealth after he was 50 years old. I think by the time he was 30, he was a millionaire. I'm not there, right? I'm past that. But now he's worth like $83 billion. And the last of that, the majority of that net worth for him came after he was 50 years old. So how that encouraged me was not just necessarily in the money thing, but at 50 years old, when as young people, we say, oh my gosh, that's so old. Decisions that we are making now as young people, we can recover. We you know, we're more pliable, right? You can even look at it physically, right? Like my son could probably do a triple backflip limbo, and he'd be fine. I do it, and I'm sore for 5 weeks, right? Like, last week, I was playing with a neighbor. This little 14-year-old neighbor kid called me out. He's like, how about you D me up? I was like, oh, okay, all right. You know, like, I was like, yeah, I thought it was all bad. I blocked him and stuff, and I walked home. I was like, oh, my gosh. Trying not to let him see. I was stretching. I had a sore. I had to ice my ankles. No lie, 5 minutes. I was playing 5 minutes. I was icing my ankle at home, right? so in the same kind of way, as we're more youthful as well, we're pliable in our decision making. Right? I'm not trying to say, oh, you can mess around, you can do this. What I'm saying is there are decisions that we can face in our life. We can bounce back. Right? We can bounce back. You know, you've made wrong decisions. I'm here to tell you it's not over. You can bounce back. We can be done. We can move past. Amen. It's temporary. Show me in the Word of God. Okay, here we go. In the Word of God, as we know that God causes everything to work together for the good who love God and are called according to His purpose. Can I tell you that's talking about you? You are called according to His purpose. And God loves you, and He can work out your situation that you're in right now out for the good. Your disappointment can be worked out for the good. Your heartache, your betrayal, your letdown can be worked out for the good, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. This is temporary, guys. There's nothing that in the kingdom cannot be undone. Now, there are consequences to our natural decisions, and we will live with those consequences. Again, God gets the rap for the consequences of our bad decisions. If I try to act like I'm a 14-year-old kid and try to play a kid in basketball and I haven't exercised more than walking back and forth on a stage in quite a while, I'm going to be sore if I don't stretch. God, why did you make me hurt my ankle? There are natural consequences. Can I be more real? Often, if you sleep around, have unprotected sex, there are natural consequences that happen. If you get into relationships that you should not be in, there are situations, natural consequences that happen. Why am I telling you this? Because God can overcome anything. But let's not give God the rap and put some disappointment and now let God out of our life because of a disappointment we had that was merely just a consequence of things that we've done. Now, obviously, I gave you some extreme examples. And those are real examples for people. But that might not be you, but I'm giving you an extreme so that we can understand that there are examples in our life of consequences that we can't attribute to God. We have to own those. Can we do that? Can we be adult? We have to own those and now say, God, these are my real situations. These are my real consequences. But I got saved after the fact. God can redeem and what? Work out everything for the good according. So in other words, those natural consequences, while they may feel like they're handicapped, God can use them. God can use them. God can use them. He can redeem them. He can work it out. So don't walk out of here with shame because I called out a situation. That's not what I'm saying. Is I'm saying, let's not attribute God, the purpose of God, on our natural consequences. Is that okay? One more thought for the idea that it's temporary. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalms chapter 30, verse number 5. I feel like you got to do joy comes in the morning. Weeping lasts for the night, but joy will come. It will come. Amen? Weeping lasts for the night. Maybe you feel like you're in the night right now in your life. There's a weeping season. There's weeping seasons. Yes, there is. But the morning comes, and joy comes with it. It's temporary. Let's not live there. Let's not camp there. Let's let it be temporary. Last number three at the keyboards. If Sammy could come up, play keys as we get ready to shut down. I told you I wouldn't go long, and I'm trying to stay true to that. Number three, my favorite. Lessons from disappointment. Number one, it's tough. Number two, it's temporary. Number three, it's a teacher. Disappointments are a teacher. I met Erin. She's a teacher. My wife, she's a teacher. Disappointments can be a teacher to us. Can we learn? Can we learn from them? Let's step back when we have a disappointment in our life and let them teach us. Again, going back to James chapter number 1, verses 2. We didn't go to verse number 4 in that. But let patience, we talked about knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work so that you may be perfected and complete, lacking nothing. be our patience that we've learned from as we've overcome disappointments, as we've counted things as joy. See, let your disappointments tonight turn into joy. Let's count them. Let's actually do what James is saying. Now that we can put some things in context, let's actually count it as joy. What does counted as joy mean? That means, you know what, God? I'm going to laugh this one off. You know what, God? I'm going to be joyful that the devil tried to take me out and he didn't. I'm going to be joyful that while that hurt and while that I'm living through some consequences of maybe some bad financial decisions. I'm in a little financial rut right now. These are my natural consequences. This is not on you. I'm going to count it all joy because I know that you have a plan for me. I know this is temporary. Now I'm going to learn my lesson and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to walk through this in the way that you have. See, because now disappointment can be the teacher in, God, what do you have to say? I've done it my way. And I'm living what that got me. God, open my ears to hear what you're trying to say. You know, God wants to talk to us about decisions in our life, about jobs, about relationships. We don't have to wait till we're in the mire of it. God wants to talk to us. He wants to teach us. Our disappointments can be a teacher. And sometimes the best teachers are like the pains, right? Like, I know I got to stretch before and after now. I'm that guy. I remember I used to play basketball in the gym when I was a younger guy. And you'd see these older guys walk in and they're spending 10 minutes stretching. I'm like, dude, you stretched before? Like, I've heard of stretching afterwards. But now I know what that is. Why? Because I was taught that if I don't stretch, the pain was my teacher. Disappointment was my teacher. Letdown was my teacher. Let those things be our teacher tonight. And let's learn from them. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, is a counselor. The Holy Spirit will not walk you into a situation that you have not been graced for. Amen. The Holy Spirit will not walk you into a situation that you have not been given the grace for. Remember, grace is sufficient for you. We have a God that does not desire to see us in positions of disappointment, of hurt. Man, I've had disappointments. I've had hurts. I've had letdowns. But like I said, the grip gets a little bit tighter. The pullback to old ways, it gets a little bit harder. Sorry, devil. The old tricks aren't working. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us. Because the statistics say that this generation is the most anxious, the most depressed, the most all the bad stuff of any generation that we've ever seen. And I can equate a lot of that to some letdown, to some disappointments, to things not going quite the way that we wanted. And then, but God. But we serve a God. But we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God that can overcome it all. So if you would, if you would just allow me to pray for us, myself included, to say a prayer that disappointments aren't going to take us out, that we will overcome, that we will be taught, that we will understand they're temporary. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Jesus. If you just raise your hands, raise your hand to heaven as a symbol of surrender. Not to me, not to my prayer, but to what God is doing in our life. Heavenly Father, we come to you with our arms wide open and surrender, Jesus. We know that we cannot do it alone, but that we need you. So Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, I pray, Jesus, that you would lift the hearts, that you would lift, Lord God, the minds of those who have been stuck in disappointment, stuck in letdown, have been emotionally distraught, have been abused, have been, Lord God, just thrown aside, oftentimes by our own thoughts, We've been beat up by ourselves, Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that you are not a God of disappointment, but you are a God that loves us, that graces us, Jesus, with your abilities, with your kindness, your mercy and goodness, Lord God. It shall follow us all the days of our life. So we stand on the promises of your word that are yes and amen, that we can find joy. Lord God, it might be feel like a nighttime, but joy comes in the morning, and we will count it as such in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. One last thing before we shut down. I want to give everybody in this place an opportunity. See, we talked a lot tonight about from a perspective of a believer that has already said yes to Jesus. And as believers, you know, we're gathering as saints where we can find the ability to overcome disappointments. But I know that there are people in this place who have yet to put their faith in Jesus, who have yet to make Jesus their Savior, yet to surrender their heart to Jesus. Or as maybe in the church world we call, give your heart to Jesus. Right? You're simply surrendering your life from saying, you know what, I'm going to do life my way and the way that I think is best. I'm going to take a few moral ideas from these people and a few ethical ideas from this train of thought. And I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be good. But we stand, like I said in the beginning prayer, we stand on the authoritative word of God. And in the word of God, we don't find anywhere that says just by being good, just by having church attendance, just by being here tonight, that makes you a Christian. Or that means that you will spend eternity in heaven. And here at The Rock, we call it an aggressive call to action, an aggressive opportunity, a get-in-your-face idea of, come on, we don't want to see you in hell. Because there's a heaven and there's a hell. But that we also understand that there's a gospel and that Jesus, that there is good news, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, whether you believe in him or not, whether you asked him to or not, he did. He died on the cross knowing that we, me, you have fallen short, have failed one too many times. And the price for our sin is death, and Jesus paid that price with his death. But guess what? He rose again, and he has called us to life with him. And so tonight I invite you into that life, a new life, outside of your failures. Because you'll look in the mirror and you'll still look the same. But when Jesus looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus that was shed. And with that blood, by that blood, you have been made righteous. You've been placed in right standing with God, an heir to his kingdom. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So tonight, if that is you, if you have yet to place your faith in Jesus, maybe you've gone through the motions before, but you've never really surrendered. Or maybe you know you're living in a way that is your way. That's maybe a little bit in, but mostly your way. Maybe some of God's way, but mostly the way that you want to do it. I want to give you an opportunity. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three, and I'm going to hit my hand on this Bible. Make that sound. When you hear that crashing sound, just like that, I want you to get your hand up. What you're doing by getting your hand up is you're acknowledging that you need Jesus. You're saying, I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to do it your way, God. I want to live my life your way. Why do I have to get my hand up? Why do I have to get it? Look, getting your hand up is not the way of salvation. But what you're doing is before these people in here who are cheering you on, because you might think I might be embarrassed. I don't want to put my stuff all out there. Well, let me tell you, there's a world that's trying to beat you up. And the idea of in a safe and friendly place and loving place as a church to say, I need Jesus. If you can't say, I need Jesus in front of people that love Jesus, then when you get onto the world, you're not going to be able to make it. So it's a first step of boldness that I want to ask you to, if that's okay. I want to ask you to be bold enough to say, I need Jesus. And we're going to clap and we're going to cheer you on and we're going to finish up.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.